Good morning, Senator Black. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Michael. How are you? How are you doing?
Thank you very much for taking the time out of what I know is a very, very busy schedule you have today.
It's a bit hectic. I think it's just this week, Michael, to be honest with you, because we were down in Cork all week and we had back-to-back meetings with lots of different organisations and NGOs around this legislation that's coming in, the Public Health Alcohol Bill, and we're holding a public meeting on Sunday night in Cork in Rotherstown Park Hotel. So, you know, there's been a huge build-up to that. So there's a lot involved, you know?
Yeah. So, first of all, can you tell us what is in the Public Health Alcohol Bill?
So, Michael, this is legislation that I have been very passionate about trying to get passed in its entirety, and I've worked tirelessly on it for the past year and a half. It's legislation that has four measures. Now, before I go into what those four measures are, just to say that in Ireland, we have a huge crisis with alcohol. There was a HRB report came out, which is the Health Research Board. The report came out a few years back. And what I saw in that, I was really, I suppose, shocked when I realised that even though I knew it was bad, I didn't really realise it was as bad as it was. Today, three people are going to die from an alcohol-related issue. So three people a day in Ireland die from an alcohol-related issue. Over 1,500 beds are taken up every day, hospital beds, with alcohol-related issues. Over 50% of the suicides that happen in Ireland are alcohol related, and it costs the Exchequer 2.3 billion a year. Alcohol harm costs the Exchequer 2.3 billion a year. So I believe very recently Geoffrey Shannon came out, who is the child, the Rapporteur for Child Protection, and he brought out a report to say in his report that 90% of the cases that he dealt with were children who had been impacted by alcohol misuse. And he said if we don't get this issue dealt with, then, and there is a national crisis. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of kind of evidence-based stuff around the crisis that we have in Ireland around alcohol. That's the first piece of it. And the reason why I'm so passionate about this legislation is because of all of those issues. And of course, as you know, Michael, I'm dealing on the coalface on a daily basis with the RISE Foundation, which is an organisation that supports family members who have a loved one with an alcohol, drug or gambling problem. So I'm meeting families every day who are really concerned about their loved ones and the alcohol harm. This legislation, I believe, is for small measures. They're not even huge steps. The first one is product separation in the shops. So when you walk into your local shop, that you're not faced with the wall of alcohol in front of you. And I mean your local general grocer or your local small supermarket even. I know that in my shop, the alcohol, the shelf is right beside the nappies. And I believe it's strategically placed. So what we're asking is that alcohol is just put behind doors, in the sense that if you put it up on the wall on shelves and you just put doors in front of it, just so is that it's not seen to young people, to children. The message that it's sending out is that it's a grocery product and it's like buying your milk and your bread. And of course, in the bigger shops, we would ask that it's in a separate part of the shop altogether, in the big, huge supermarkets. So that's the product separation. Then we have labelling on alcohol to say that alcohol can cause death. I think that's really important, and people need to know that, or it causes heart disease, or it can cause cancer. One in eight women who get breast cancer, it's alcohol related. So that's the second measure. Then we have marketing, which is where advertising big posters beside schools that it's far enough away from schools that young people can't see it, and also advertising on radio that it's after a certain time, when you know, maybe 9 o'clock in the evening, just so as that again that children can't hear those subliminal messages. And then the final one is sports sponsorship, and it's just we all know the GAA already have stopped taking sponsorship from the drinks industry, and that has gone very well and has worked very well, and it's a good message, but we're trying to get that into the legislation. Now, I suppose What I'm really shocked at, Michael, really is I didn't think it would be a big deal getting this legislation through. I thought it would be a doddle because this is a public health issue. They're not major. We're not asking, you know, for unbelievable, you know, we're not asking for huge amounts of money. We're just asking for us to change our, by bringing in these measures, we're changing our unhealthy relationship with alcohol, or it'll help change. I'm not even saying it will change. They're small measures to help change our thinking around our unhealthy relationship with alcohol. So for me, I was really shocked and I suppose disheartened to see that the industry have really gotten behind this legislation to block it and to do everything in their power to not let this legislation through, and have had and have huge power within the politicians and senators. They've lobbied tirelessly, non-stop, I mean every day, 4 or 5 times a day, they are lobbying against this legislation because it's going to interfere with their profits. That's basically it, and that's the way I see it. It's interfering with their profits, so they will send out messages out there. They're scaremongering, they're talking about nanny state. That's not what this is about. Trust me, Michael, it's not. And it's not about alcohol, it's not about prohibition or anything like that. It's just about changing our thinking around and making people aware that alcohol is a psychoactive drug and it causes death. And that's the only message we're trying to get through these four measures. And if it could save one life, it would be worth it. So I hope that kind of gives you an understanding, Michael, as to where I'm coming from. Unfortunately, it looks like there will be amendments going in to dilute this legislation. And that's why I'm on a solo campaign on my own as an independent senator to try and get the public to support me. I have been down in Cork in particular. I chose Cork first. I'll be hoping to run a series of open meetings around the country, but we started in Cork. Really, it's to mobilise organisations. I was in the CUH hospital on Tuesday, where we had 30 heads of department meeting with me to talk about this issue, who are fully supportive of this legislation because they're dealing on the coalface in emergency department in particular. Every single weekend they're dealing with unbelievable crisis around alcohol. So they're fully supportive of this legislation, as are the ISPCC, who get 6,000 calls a year from young children who are living in, who are scared because of an alcohol related issue. The Pieta House, say 80% of the people who have presented to them say that alcohol plays a huge role if they attempt to take their lives. So these are all the facts, and all we're asking is for these four small measures. But unfortunately, I think the industry are winning this battle because they are going to get the politicians to dilute it.
Am I
I've given you a lot of information there, Michael.
you have, but am I correct in saying that this legislation was brought forward by the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar while he was in that portfolio?
He introduced it. Initially, it was brought, a lot of work went into it when Roisin Shortall was the minister, the junior minister for health and I think for drugs and alcohol. It was for drugs and alcohol she was a junior minister for. She was amazing. She started this process, and then when she left, Leo Varadkar, when he was minister for health, introduced it into the Dáil. So this is a Fine Gael bill, which is good in one way, but unfortunately they've been really under pressure from the industry and from other major parties to dilute this legislation. The reason why I went to Cork is I'm appealing to particularly Micheál Martin in particular, who was fantastic on the cigarettes. But unfortunately, I believe he's probably listening a lot to the industry and the scaremongering that's going on from the industry. And he's been bombarded with messages about this legislation. And really, you know, the world is not going to end if this legislation is brought in. But it feels like the messages that he's getting is that he can't support it in its entirety and that he wants these amendments in. And that's my concern. And it can, we have to get these four measures through in their entirety, because otherwise it's not going to work. We need the four of them, but they're going to, the product separation in particular has come under extreme pressure from the retail industry, from ABFI, and from the alcohol industry also, to really dilute it. So that's where my concern is, and that's why I'm fighting tooth and nail to save this legislation and to try and get it passed in its entirety.
Am I correct in saying that in 2009, in the alcohol bill in 2009, you had Section 9, which was passed by the House but wasn't signed into, wasn't signed by the minister, and that allowed for the separation of alcohol within stores, that it actually designated that you had to have a designated area?
No, that hasn't been passed yet. It may have been introduced, but there's, as I say, there's four pieces, and one of them is product separation. So what that means is that in the stores, the alcohol is separate to the general grocery items that we buy on a daily basis. That hasn't been passed too. That's the one measure on the bill that's been under fierce scrutiny recently, but particularly the pressure that has been put on the politicians around this issue, around the country. And what has happened is there has been huge scaremongering going on, saying that it's going to cost the small shopkeepers, you know, hundreds of thousands if they, if this legislation goes through, which is not true. It's not the truth. What the real truth is that for the small shopkeepers, when you walk into your local shop, like the cigarettes, alcohol is just behind frosted glass. You have to slide the door open to buy it. It's just that it doesn't send out that message to children, to young people, that alcohol is the same as buying your milk and your bread, because it's not, or your nappies. It's not. It's a psychoactive drug. So that's all we're trying to do. We're just trying to break that subliminal message that goes out there that it's just part of daily living. It shouldn't be, because it causes serious problems and mental health issues. So, no, it hasn't been passed yet, and that's one of the measures that's on the legislation.
I previously did some work with Sister Concilio in Coonwirra. Mm-hmm. So I've seen some of the damage to lives and to very young lives that it has done. And if we look at people in recovery, what's out there for people in recovery to help people maintain recovery?
I mean, you know, I'll be honest with you. When I was working, I was I trained in the Rutland Treatment Centre in Rathfarnham, and I stayed on there. This is back in 2006. I stayed on there as a locum therapist, and I was working with young people myself while I was there. And I remember working with one young lad who was only 21, and you know, we were trying to, you know, talk him through, you know, walking away from alcohol. But it was really difficult because, and he was right in what he said to me. He said, when I leave here, you know, I'm going to be so isolated because of our culture. And all my friends go out drinking every single weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So what am I going to do? Sit at home or go out, hang out with them and sit drinking cups of tea? You know, like, you lose, if the reality is for him, if he was going to try and stop drinking, even though he was in crisis and he was, you know, if he didn't stop, there was a very strong possibility something terrible was going to happen, because he drank in excess. But the reality is that he's so isolated for him because of our culture. And that's what really struck a chord with me. That's why I kind of, I suppose, I'm on this other journey now around our culture. But with regard to recovery in general, it is very difficult in Ireland to step into recovery because of our culture. If I go to America and I, you know, you go in and you sit down, my brother lives over there and, you know, often he invites people over for dinner and there might be one bottle of wine between six people, and if there's more than six people, you might drink 1.5 bottles of wine. And that's literally, it's just part of, they just drink with their meals, and sometimes they wouldn't even finish their, there's a huge, and now don't get me wrong, I'm sure there is problems in America too, but I'm not so sure it's in the actual culture the way it's in everywhere we go. You go to a christening, you go to a communion, you go to a funeral, you go to a wedding. I mean, the amount of alcohol that's drank is, you know, is way above the norm, way, way, way above the norm. So, and that's what we have to address. In my experience of working with people who are trying to step into recovery, it's very difficult. I mean, you even walk to your local shop and you walk in to around and get your milk and bread, have, you know, anywhere, even in the local garages now, there's just, you know, aisles of alcohol. It worries me. And that's why I feel this legislation is really important.
It worries you and it terrifies me. I worked for 34 years within the retail industry, so I have some knowledge of how alcohol is sold within the retail industry. And when I first started working in the retail industry, alcohol was separated, and there were very few retailers, other than some of the very large retailers, particularly grocery retailers, that sold alcohol. A memory to me, I grew up in Fairview, and there was one off license on Phillipsburg Avenue, and as a child, you didn't go into it. Even though it did sell other groceries as well, it was frowned upon. But that whole culture has changed.
It's changed so much.
But you said something that really struck a chord with me, and it's something that, as you might understand, that I'm a little bit passionate about this. Now, I take a drink, and I enjoy a drink. But from my time with Cunwara, I have noticed, and it has worried me about young people. Caught up in addiction, whether that be through alcohol, through drugs, through gambling. What is there for them once they're in recovery? What are the supports? And just as you say, our culture is built around alcohol. And it's also built...
It's very, very difficult. It really is. But in saying that, it's not impossible. And there is there are great supports out there. If somebody, you know, has gone through, has had issues with alcohol and they really want true recovery, and it's just really how determined they are themselves. I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy. Because everywhere you go, we're steeped in alcohol, particularly in Ireland. But there are supports out there, and you have places like Cunwara, and you have places like the Rutland Treatment Centre, and you have, you know, and it is an ongoing journey. I don't think the process of recovery is not you go into treatment or you go to a few AA meetings and then you're cured. It doesn't work like that. It's an ongoing recovery journey, and there are many challenges that are sent in front of your path. But, you know, it is about having to kind of rise above those challenges. It's not easy in Ireland to step into recovery because of the amount of alcohol that we're surrounded by. But, you know, if one is determined enough, there's no doubt about it, it can be done, and one can have a life, well, I can only speak from experience, beyond their wildest dreams, you know, where you are empowered against the disease of addiction. As I say, it's challenging, but it's worth it. It's definitely worth it. And, you know, you have the AAs, but aftercare, if you go through a treatment centre, I believe that aftercare is the most important part of the journey of recovery, because that's where you start to learn the tools, the real tools. The treatment part of it is just where, you know, you put down the alcohol and, you know, you do a bit of work on all of that, and you might do, for some people, maybe detox or whatever. But for but it's really the aftercare that has that really makes the difference.
So, Senator, how can people support you? What can they do?
I would ask people to write to their local TDs, their senators, to get out there and just please write personal letters to their local TDs and say, we're asking you to support this legislation. But this is the key piece of it, to support this legislation in its entirety, the four measures. Because what any TD or senator will say to you is, oh, well, we support it, but they don't support it. They're putting in amendments, so they don't support it in its entirety. And that's the piece for me that we need. We need to get these four measures through on this legislation. So I'm asking people to write to their local TDs and senators and ask them to really, that this is about our children. This is about going forward. This is about our children's future. It's about changing our thinking around our unhealthy relationship with alcohol. And now we cannot let the industry, you know, win this because of they're only interested in their profits. That's what we're talking about here, Michael. We're talking about, you know, profits over public health. You know, that's the battle here. And that's what we need to change. It's vital that we change this. And I don't have any... I'm an independent. I'm not in any way party political. I just know because I've worked on the coalface. I see it on a daily basis. And I'm asking the public to support me on what I'm trying to do. I sometimes feel like I'm a solo voice in Leinster House on this issue. Don't get me wrong, I have people who support me. There's fantastic people in there. I have my own independent group are supporting me. I have other independents in there. Labour are supporting us and Sinn Féin are supporting me, which is fantastic. But we really do need to get Fianna Fáil on board on this. I think in Fine Gael itself, there's conflict within their own party. There's a lot of TDs and senators who have been gotten to by the industry and lobbied by the industry. So, I just think they're bombarded with the lobbying that's going on. So we need the people's voice to speak out here and say enough is enough.
Thank you very much, Senator.
No problem at all. Thank you for listening to me.
Before you go, would you mind introducing the next tune we have up? It's by a young Irish lady, and it's called All Along the Atlantic Way.
This is a song that was written and performed by my daughter, Aoife Scott, who wrote this song from a woman's perspective who lives in Nova Scotia, and an old woman's perspective who lives in Nova Scotia, and she has just lost her husband, and it's her song to him saying, when are we going to go back? She's waiting to pass herself. When are we going to go back? And go back on the honeymoon that we had all along the wild Atlantic Way. And thank you very much for playing it. My daughter Aoife is away on tour in America at the moment and thankfully is doing very well. We're blessed.
Thank you, Senator. God bless.
Thank you very much. God bless. Bye-bye.